To become an endurance athlete, you need to start. And there are many ways to start. Run a mile a day for a week or two, increase that mileage over time, sign up for a 5K. Sign up for a half marathon and Google a half marathon training program. I've done this. Rack up your mileage week over week up to your objective. Or, and I personally think that this is the best way to begin running, sign up to join a running group in your city. And then go for runs with them and follow their advice and become a runner or better runner. Welcome back to the You're Not Qualified podcast, you imposters. My name is Courtney Heater and I am your host. Today, I chat with Beth, founder of Running Evolution, a running company club in the Seattle area. So Beth gets into it all. Why you hate running and how to overcome that. I know that you hate running. We all really actually do hate it.
This is magnificent.
Oh yeah, ooh, ah, that's how it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming.
The importance of patience and grit, and that they can go together. How to couch to 5K. Speaking of 5K, a spot of trivia, the most popular road race in the U.S. is the 5K, with more than 8.9 million registrants in 2022. That is from livestrong.com. However, that annual 5K participation decreased by 13% from 2017 to 2019. No data on 2022 to 2023 here, but I hope that increases, and I hope it increases from 2024 to 2025 because you listen to this podcast and you start running. So get out there. Go run. Go do statistics. There are many ways to become a runner, but let's talk about a very inclusive and approachable way to become a runner. Are you ready to become a runner? Let's go.
Hey, you want some good parental advice? Don't listen to me.
All right. So tonight we are with Beth. Beth is also in Seattle with me, but we are remote still. That's how the timing and stuff works after work. But Beth is here to talk to us all about her business called Running Evolution. And she is really awesome because she encourages people to just get out there and run and creates a really safe space for people to do so with tons of good resources. And I'm just excited to talk to you all about that and all about encouraging people to get out there. So thank you for being here, Beth.
Thank you for inviting me, Courtney. This is so
Okay. So I am going to set the stage of Running Evolution, and then we can get into it. So would you tell us about your focus with Running Evolution?
Yes, I coach people who hate running to run, to start running, or people who haven't run in a while, or it's been, decades to get them back into running, and a supportive and encouraging social arena.
And that's really beautiful. Yeah. Do you take runners from all backgrounds then, I'm assuming, because you could hate running in high school and pick it up, kind of like I did.
It turns out there's a lot of different, anybody has run who hated it, they know it's a lot, it's like 90% mental. And so that's who I do help, and it's a head game, is people who got discouraged in high school or college, because especially people who are like my age and a little older, running was used as a punishment. And so they have this like fundamental hate of running. So we have to talk about that, and then talk about sometimes people think that it's bad for you, bad for your knees, a whole bunch of different like stories that people have in their heads that we poke into and see what's going on. And yeah, so like the high school thing is very common.
What kind of, is it like the coaches and teachers that use running as a punishment at a school?
Yeah, like in high school, and I think it's a generational thing because I'm a little bit older, is that if you did something bad in baseball or soccer, you had to do laps.
Oh, yeah. Do laps, do push-ups.
Yeah, and then there was very little, you had to go fast. Mm-hmm. And usually you were like, my track coach from high school, the first day we had to run till we barfed. And that was the
That's
thing.
the goal.
I
Oh, God.
know. And so I didn't like running for 10 years after that. And
No, who would you probably step on the track and barf?
exactly.
Because it's like a visceral reaction.
Yeah, there's a lot of that connection to some kind of activity and your mental state at the time, and you get a little arrested development, and yeah, and you gotta just figure out how to get over it. Yeah, it's interesting.
It truly is. We probably could talk about the psychology of it for eons.
Yeah.
So when you're starting Running Evolution 18 years ago and you're looking around at all of the other running clubs, running groups, resources for runnings, what were you seeing that needed to be changed, like a gap that needed to be filled?
Yeah, like what you said earlier before we started recording is that I started running in, I lived in San Francisco. There were no running groups really there. There was like, but they were all really fast. And I joined like a track team for like once a week, and I was just getting smoked over and over again. And which is fine because that's track, so you get try to get faster. But there's no like long distance running thing. And I trained for my first marathon by myself, which is really lonely, especially when there was like no internet or playlist. I had a backpack
No
full
Spotify.
of cassette tapes and yellow Walkman. So that's how I
Oh
trained.
my God.
And it was, yeah, it was super lonely and discouraging. And I had to, yeah, get some grit and figure it out. And then we moved to Seattle and I joined a running group and I was completely smoked the first mile. And I'm like, I run a marathon and I know how to run. But they were all really fast, which was, yeah, that's fine. It's just, I think that I wanted something that was like an in-between baby step kind of situation.
I
Yeah.
really like, I feel that deeply. The like we were saying before we hit record, just for the listeners, I was telling Beth that I would have loved to find something like Running Evolution. I wish I would have known it existed when I started running a few years ago, running seriously, I will say, like actually trying rather
Yeah.
than just going out for a jog, because it is such a like an exclusive group. They say that they can be accommodated to new people, but I just don't believe them
Yeah.
usually in like these running groups. And it's just they're too fast. I'm not at their level. It's maybe the hills are like too high in elevation for me. It's just in like Seattle's a hilly place. So it's hard and it just, I'm too scared, but it's terrifying.
It evokes like a like this being abandoned mentality. And I bring this up in my first like Couch to 5K classes is like when you start running, there's a fight or flight trigger that goes off in your head and you feel like you're in danger and you have to really figure out ways to combat that. And so like if people are running away from you and like you get left behind, you're dead last because whatever imaginary prey that you still have in your head that you're gonna get attacked by some Neanderthal kind of lion. You still have that in your head. You're not that evolved. So that's, you have that going on then too. So it's just like a primal fear of getting left behind, getting eaten.
Yeah, and you want to stay with your group.
Yes, that. Yeah.
Please don't leave
Yeah.
me.
So be the last one. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's also why I do love organized races, because I'm never the last one,
Yeah.
and it's usually like I'm never at the top at the front, but
Yeah.
I'm like there's always at least like some sort of a pack that's around you, and that's really nice. You're not talking to each other usually, but and they're
Mostly,
strangers.
yeah, but there's like a common cool being in the part of a group activity where everyone's going forward, which is very weird and rare.
It is.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting way to look at it. It's really rare. Everybody's literally just running. And a lot of people say, I would never run unless I'm being chased by something. You couldn't make me run. I love that is the what hits the trigger in your head as you
Yeah.
are being chased.
Because people really, yeah, they do not like that feeling. And that's why I can tell them if they say they hate running, I'm like, oh, I know why. I know why you hate that feeling because of these reasons.
Okay. How do they get over that feeling?
It says we go slow. I coach people to go slow, which is super counterintuitive because you think you're supposed to go fast. And so we go slow and I make people talk to each other and or get distracted by something that they can listen to something or count trees or something to get them out of their head. And that really works really well too. But
I've
just talking to
also just talking to somebody. I've heard too that I've heard a mixed bag. One former guest told me not to run with music and to try to run without the music to hear your body, listen to your body, and then it'll help you become more in tune and get faster. But then I've also been with the groups of people that swear by music or even like podcasts. Are you in either group?
Oh, but no, I like to run with people or with music and or podcasts. I would have a, I can run by myself without anything, but when I first started running, that heavy breathing that I was exuding was like the worst sound in the world. It was like, I am so out of shape. I'm such a loser. I can't believe
Oh.
I'm this out of shape. I was 26 when I started running. I'm like, I'm so young. And I was just like, I was going too fast, but I needed something to cover up that sound.
Yeah, I do. I really feel though, you say because you were 26, you're trying to figure out how to run, you were going too fast. I don't think people really know how to start running and how to start running to progress because you see somebody's Strava time and they have a 9 minute mile, they have a 10 minute mile, and you go out and you try to hit that and then you gas out because you're just started running and you need to build up to that. And does running evolution help the build?
We take like walk breaks and just get used to the your body in that motion. And that again, that's the other the reasons why you hate running, so you can deal with those tools. But yeah, going really slow and like taking walk breaks is like totally up our alley. And then again, if you want to and then progress past that to running all the time or whatever, then we work with that. But getting you started in interval training is your head and your heart are just all on board because it's
Yeah.
small. It's small steps. Yeah.
It's small steps, a lot of zone two. You have to build your base. Yeah. Get your body. It's a machine.
It is a
Yeah.
machine, but also it's a we're dealing with a big bag of emotions that is on top of the machines too.
You have your 10% machine and your 90% really overactive machine up here that needs to calm it down. My brain gets in the way all the time. It's so annoying.
There was a study about in the New York Times years ago about they put stress panels on people's brains who had never run before and who people who had run before, but it had been a while. And everybody who ran who never ran before, every like danger red in their brain was going off because they didn't know that it gets easier. And then the people who they paneled who had run before, and it had been a while, it was all green. They know that they're going to get the endorphins. They know it's going to get easier. But you're like a when you're ready starting to run, you're going to like going up like a jet plane at this crazy trajectory. Your body's getting warmed up, so you don't think that's going to plateau out. So you think you're in danger for the first 10 minutes, and it's the first mile, which is the hardest.
And then people look down at their watch and their heart rates, and they're like, my heart rate has never been this high before. I'm going to explode.
And it's probably in front of your head going, what is going on? Brains.
I wish I could take it out and put it on a
I
shelf.
tell people, if you can get to decapitate yourself for just 15, 20 minutes a day, then it'd be great.
Yeah, but then you also mentioned just now that your brain is also helpful because if you have run before, it knows what to expect. It can start to help prime your body. You can train your brain to become less averse to the pain that your body is going through while you're running.
With on the other side of the tunnel. So that's what I feel like Running Evolution does is take you through that tunnel. It's gonna be okay. We're gonna get through this. And then people like the third week of, oh, I can do this and it feels good. And how good it feels at the end of the run and how good it feels in their day when they're relaxed and they're sleeping better and all those good things. So
The sleep
this
is the magic
thing
part.
is pretty good.
Yeah, I took a month off of like training for anything, and I'm just getting back to into it today. On lunch, I went to the gym, and I'm like so excited for the sleep because I've just been sleeping like erratic. It's like sometimes too heavy, too much sometimes, and I'm like it's so consistent and so perfect when I work out and when especially when I run. Like cardio is so good. Your heart rate wants to come way down, but it really needs to elevate a lot to get there.
Yeah, that deep sound sleep that you just, oh, it's great.
Do you get that?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good. I don't want to be like you're saying I get it and you don't. I would feel really bad.
Most people do. I've worked with a lot of runners and I'm like, there's sleep. And they're like, okay, tell me more. I'll do whatever. So the sleep is really great.
Yes. So for running evolution and inclusivity, you are very. So how are you marketing your inclusivity?
Usually with pictures of the, and we have mostly women. We've had a few guys, and it's great to have guys, but we work with mostly women. And just having what bodies look like that are running with us, from the gamut and ages and sizes and ethnicity and colors. And so that's how we represent ourselves, is through that, and just that we're fun and social and non-competitive.
You get beer and tacos.
Good
I've
to
seen,
hear. Yeah.
which is another huge perk. I love when there's beer at the end of a run. I really do.
And so yeah, I always felt bad for like the runners at the end, like a 9 a.m. run, and like at 10 a.m. you're having a beer. Whatever.
To each
yeah.
their own.
Yeah,
Especially
exactly.
for the weekend.
Right. Yeah.
Have your 10 a.m. shower beer. Please do
Yeah, shower beer. Yeah.
it.
I've had a shower beer in a long time.
Those are my favorite. After
Good.
the long hike, get a shower
Yeah.
beer. So if someone then is starting from zero, and as we were both saying, finding a group as you're becoming a rudder is difficult because it doesn't feel inclusive. But if you're starting from zero and you want to become a, I guess, a consistent runner, I'll say you want to run regularly, do you recommend a running group, or is this for people ideally that have at least gone on a couple runs, or is this their first run with you?
Oh yeah, we have a class, like a Couch to 5K classes. We have one a quarter, and that takes people who've never run before. The set is if you can walk comfortably and fast for 30 minutes, and you can then you can do it. And
Oh.
yeah, so we get people to do a 5K in 6 weeks.
5K
And
in 6 weeks.
yeah, there might be walk breaks, there might be some crying, but it's people have a lot of emotion. It's,
Oh no, I know. I understand.
like I've had time to talk with a girl who was like she started to start crying like a mile like two. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not reactive. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, I just never thought I could do this. And I'm like, okay, you done crying? She's like, yep. I'm like, okay, let's keep running. there's the grief, there's mourning, there's things come out. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's it's like precious.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's a cool job.
I've cried in the woods before during a half marathon. Yep, because I was in pain. But it's like also there's all those other things with running too. Like sometimes your bowels don't behave. And a lot of runners have their roots with the bathrooms for a reason. But that always gives me a lot of anxiety too on a run. And there's been some times where in the woods by myself, just having a tear. I feel sorry for myself, and then I keep going.
Get the cake,
And
the pity party balloons, and
then you finish the race. I love that so much. So it is very inclusive. So people, if you're in Seattle, you should definitely go run. And you said you're doing Couch to 5K once a quarter. And what is your scheduling for coaching now?
We have other coaches for our group. So we have a once people graduate the Couch to 5K, then we have daily runs. We have Monday through Saturday, and like one in the morning, one at night. And it's like our night coaches usually do intervals as well, like around Green Lake. And it's yeah, they're chatty and it's also very social too. Like you need to be social and you need to have exercise, and so it gets both of those things out. So it's very supportive and everybody's very nice and fun. Mostly. I'm just kidding. They're all fun.
In between the cheers, everybody's
Yeah.
fun. You're mostly having a good time. I would love to talk a little bit more about these mental hurdles that we're touching on that people are trying to overcome. Personally, now, not always, but a big reason I have this podcast is now I believe that hard sports are for everyone. And when I say I didn't used to, I meant I didn't think they were for me. But now I'm like, it's for me. It's for anybody that wants to do it. I'm not going to make you go run. But as you said, you probably should try it. But even if you did not grow up athletic, hard sports are for you. In terms of the folks that are coming to you and they 100% did not grow up athletic at all, and they're trying to become athletic, and I'm sure that your Couch to 5K, you probably see this quite a bit. What specifically are they coming with mentally and that they like have to overcome with your program?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of it is like the story they're telling themselves or the story they heard growing up. And so I always poke around to see if I hear something like, who told you that? Or where did you hear that from? Because it's something that it's a belief that they have that they are too old or they're too, they have their boobs are too big. I've heard everything. I'm too short to run. And because, like, I hate to say the patriarchy, but the patriarchy has shown us these little small white women runners in advertisements and media. So they have this idea in their head. So it's a lot of it is just seeing what they think of what running is, and then just showing them that they can do it.
Showing them the opposite side of it.
Yeah. What would it be good? Yeah. What would be the worst thing that could happen? And if they don't like it, at least they can have the confidence to know that they did this, like 5K, and that they could try a new sport that they haven't tried. Because it's learning something new when you're not young, as if also another like complicated thing, because you think you're supposed to be good at it, and there's not a lot of growth mindset too. So it's not natural for everybody, and you're gonna have to slow down and walk and learn to get better and have your cardiovascular kind of catch up to where you need to go. And there's a big learning curve, and people think it's like all or nothing. And there's a lot of that too. Perfectionism is a lot of things that we talk about in our classes, that it should be, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect week. They got to hit exactly what they're supposed to do. I'm like, you're gonna screw it up, and it's fine. So we're
It's
just,
natural.
it's life, right? If you're gonna be consistent
Yeah.
and do it for the rest of your life, you're not gonna have one good week, one bad week, and then rest of, like, it's like in the try one of three things: bad week, good week, regular week. So it just happens.
Yeah. And those people that do run often say that given out of three runs, you're going to have one really great run, one
Yeah.
okay run, one really terrible run. And the best runners in the world still say that.
Yep. Oh yeah, I've done that. Yeah. I actually heard it from a professional runner too. And that's just part of the training and knowing that's a thing. And also that when you have the catalog of being a runner, consistent runner, and you skip a week, you're going to be fine. But if you're beginning running and you're like skipping 2 days, you're freaking out because you're like, oh man, I can't get back into it. I'm like, and it's that they don't have the history with it that they know they can do it. I'm like, what else have you done consistently for your whole life? You're like, brush your teeth, take care of your dog, all these things that they have done. I'm like, you can do this. It's a habit they have to create, but they don't know that yet.
Yeah, and you, even if you're not feeling motivated, that's when discipline comes in. And
Yeah,
then
right. Yeah.
you'll become more disciplined the more that you do it and the more that you start reaping these rewards of how it makes you feel, how it makes you sleep. And then like the camaraderie and the community that you find in it. Yeah, that's just so applicable. Honestly, if I had just stuck with so many things that I was not naturally good at right away, I imagine like how much different my life would be. It's really great now, but I wish I would just have known that you can't be naturally good at everything right when you
No,
start it. Because
no.
I quit so many things because I'm like, not good at it, not my thing.
But there's so much like personal growth and fucking things up and failing and then retrying it. It took me a whole year to do my first 5K, to train for my first 5K when I was 26 years old, and there was nothing wrong with me. I stopped, I started, I stopped, I started, I stopped, I started. And I did it. I started running, and then a whole year later, I did my first 5K.
Oh my gosh, why did you start?
Because I wanted to run a marathon. And I was just like, because I was the same way, because I had never really finished anything in my head, had that story in my head. And I poked that out, and I'm like, my sister-in-law, who I love her so much, she did a marathon. And I'm like, I never met anybody who did a marathon. And I'm like, she could do it. She can do it. And then talk about your inside. That's my Garmin. Talk about the imposter syndrome. I'm like, she could do it. So I wanted to do it.
But yeah, it is that finding somebody who has done it is definitely helpful, another reason to join a run club.
Yeah.
But and it is something so special about just starting, but a whole year to do a 5K. So in that year stopping and starting, was it time management or was it doubt?
It was everything I could, all the excuses in the world to put in front of me. Like I had a bad bra, I had bad shoes, and there was no internet. I'm older, so there was no internet to know what kind of bra do I need. And I was broke, so I like, oh, spending $60 on a bra sounds like a lot. So I had one bra for a long time that I just rinsed out in my little sink every day, and getting good shoes and finding that little balance of comfort. And then I think once I just committed to it, I'm like, okay, I did it. And so I did my first 5K in San Francisco, and I cried so hard at the end because I was like, exactly like the same girl. I couldn't believe I just did this. And it was 5K is 3 miles, which I do
That's a
every.
lot.
I know, it's like if you like,
A mile is so much longer than I realize every
driving
time.
a car, you're like, look at the mileage. It takes a long time to drive a mile, especially
Yes.
Seattle. And then I did a marathon a year later. And I've done a lot since, tros and halves and stuff like that.
At what point were you hooked, and at what point were you like, I'm hooked so much that I think I could help other people?
Yeah, when I moved to Seattle, I had a hard time meeting people, and I thought that this might be an interesting way to build a community, and it did. And it's been nuts having the first. I was right on the internet, their social media came into flourish, so people were looking, they're connecting that way, and I had a Couch to 5K class, and people joined it, and I had 30 people in my first class, and I still talk to some of those people. They're all friends
Oh.
still. And they just like half marathons together. And yeah, it's pretty neat.
It's beautiful. It's truly beautiful. For those people that are starting and they are wanting to get to the 5K, which is the Couch to 5K goal, and if they want to stop in the middle of it and quit the program, do you have some hefty encouragement, or do you say, come back when you feel ready? What is your motivation
Oh,
style?
that it's tricky because some people could get like at the second or third week, people get quote unquote injured because your body is just figuring out
What the
all
hell?
what the
Yeah.
hell. I tell them to take a week and come back and just show up and see how it goes. That's our kind of our motto is just show up. We had t-shirts made of it. And because you just show up, you just that's all you have to do. And I'll take care of the rest. And people have quit because of reasons because of their they get injured. I'm like, you can come back, but usually the injury is not, there's just new runner injuries like shin splints and cranky knees. And I'm like, I know all the tricks to help that and we can keep doing this. And it's very gradual and the slower you go, the less injury prone you will be for new runners.
Yeah, you're not going to have that 9 minute mile out the gate.
Nope. And you won't get injured. So
You could start at a trot. Like, I trot all the
Great. This is the first mile is just get your head and your heart to match.
Absolutely. Got to get in the game. Got
Yeah.
to get in the game. People know about like this shin splints and stuff coming into it. And you did mention before that people are also worried that it's bad for their knees. Is there other misconceptions that you can think of?
When the 60s, they thought women couldn't run because their uteruses were going to fall out. Yeah, it
Oh
was.
my God.
Yeah, if you didn't know that was a thing that they.
No, I had no clue, and now I'm pissed.
Yeah, because they don't. Medical science doesn't really work on women a lot, especially
I've
back.
heard that they literally are just starting. Did you see those articles? Yeah.
Yeah, this is right. First woman who ran the New York Marathon, Katherine Schweitzer, she signed under like a. With her initials, and they tried to pull her off the course, like literally with their hands trying to pull her off, and she kept going and she finished, of course. So now it's come to being where women are getting faster at longer distances, and there's probably a point in my lifetime where women will start winning these ultra marathons because of their hip width and their ability to sustain pain because mothering motherhood. It's really neat. That's pretty cool. I don't know if I answered your question, but I thought that was really interesting.
No, that's yeah, no, it's spot on. It's really awful, but I'm glad that people are starting to turn it around. And you probably know the details of this, but that a woman just completed the world's hardest
The Barkley Marathon.
ultra. Yeah.
Yep.
And she was the first woman.
Yeah, that thing is, it's five, le it's just a real quick, if people don't know what it is, it's in the foothills of in the East Coast. Completely covered in brambles of like thorny, stickery bushes up and down these huge hills. And it's loops of 26 miles. And there's five of them, I believe, maybe six. There's no markers. There's no mile markers. and they have to find their way through navigation. And once they find like the right spot, they have to have a they there's a book that you have to rip out the page, and you have to put it in a plastic baggie because it's raining all the time. It's horrible weather conditions. It's like the hardest thing ever. Yeah. So she finished it, which like it's crazy. Yeah. Usually
And
people
you
don't finish.
have 46 hours, was it, to finish?
And she took she'd all but two minutes, almost two or a minute to finish it. She just got it under within a
Just
minute.
under a minute. But if you, and I know that probably sounds like she just in the nick of time, but if you look at all of the men, not very men have ever completed this, but if you look at the men too, they're very close in time. It's all 2 minutes, 1 minute.
People, yeah, there's hundreds of people to finish it, and like there was like five other finishers, so that was it. There's five guys and her, so there wasn't a lot of people in general finishing it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And yeah, they're all like 58 or yeah, the 45 minutes or 45 hours, minutes. Oh my God, 45 hours finish and a couple of seconds of difference. Yeah, that I hope that picture of her on that yellow grate is just burned in all women's brains. It's you've got this.
And then there's Courtney Dewalter, who's run
Yeah.
all like all these ultra marathons back to back and won them.
Yeah.
She's right, usually the fourth place overall. And I'll tell you that. And there's Camille, her last name, she just did the further event for Lululemon, and she ran 100 and oh God, I think it was like 400 miles in 6 days. It was something ridiculous. And it's just crazy. Yeah.
Do you have an ultra marathon in your future?
I don't. I did one last year and it ruined me a little bit. Talk about crying. But yeah, I'll do another one down the road, but not this year.
Yeah. Well, how, what was your mileage for the ultra?
It was 30, it was a 50K.
Okay.
So yeah.
Those are awesome. And one of my
Yeah.
favorite misconceptions about those is people are like, it's only a few more miles than a marathon. It's not how it
Yeah,
is.
they're in the woods and there's hills, a lot of hills. This is how the thing gets up 4,000 feet elevation,
Oh my God.
which is hard.
Yeah.
It's not
It
easy.
really is hard. It's you're hiking and then you're running downhills and running flats.
Yeah.
And if you go on hikes and you run, usually if you're hiking, you're not also running. And
Yeah.
if you're just running, you're not, unless you're a trail runner.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it is. It's like an ultra trail run.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
don't do them because they're easy, though. That's I think okay. I came in dead. I did come in dead last for that one too.
Beth, I did too. I
Yeah.
did, yeah, I did an ultra last summer and I was dead last.
But you finished, yeah.
I finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a bottle of champagne for the last person. I was like,
Yeah.
that is so kind.
They do that for the Paris Marathon too.
Was like, this is so nice. And you're still here to hand me my medal.
I
You
know
can go
that's how
home.
you know how hard it is, and that's where you, like the humblest people I know are like ultra marathoners because they know they have gotten their asses kicked because it's hard. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was
Yeah.
handed to me over
Yeah.
and
Love
over.
it.
And I'm a glutton for it, so I signed up for two more this year.
Love
And I did it while I wasn't feeling well this weekend. I'm like still stuffy, but I had a cold and I was just sitting in bed signing up for ultra marathons. I was like,
it.
I just want to run and I'm gonna regret it, but I'm gonna do it. Gosh. Oh, what have we done with ourselves? So with all of that, with people not believing in themselves, with people really trying to get into it and being just scared, as runners and the people listening to this podcast are usually either already active or wanting to be active or wanting to do something that scares the shit out of them, but they don't think that they're qualified to do it. How can we be better advocates for people in the running space that are just scared to start?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in looking for the right group because a lot of people go to the first group, say it's they hate it and they won't go back. So you got to go try like dating. Don't marry the
Get
first one.
yourself out there.
Yeah. Do a little speed dating and just yeah, see who else, ask friends and see who is doing what and make sure the goals fit together. And there are like people don't know about trail running, how trail running you're walking half the time, and so there maybe that's for you. It's just yeah, try out different things and see what you like. But if you have a goal of doing something that's hard, you just learn so much when you do it and fail and try again. When I was training for my first marathon, I quit for a week, a mile 18, because I was before I hit did the mile 18, and because I was committed to do this effing marathon. I'm not sure if I can cuss, but I was committed, and I trained for the I trained and trained. It was so hard, and it was before like goo and things like that. So it was just like it just had different kind of struggles. And but like I have 18 on my calendar. I'm like, I can't do it. There's no way I can't do it. I can't do it. And I quit. And I'm like, I'm not running the marathon. And then a week later, I ran the stupid thing, 18 miles, and it was just awful. And it is, but I did it. And I knew once I did 18 miles, I had in my head that I could do a marathon. And then a week after that was 9/11, and I was like, now I'm too sad. I'm too sad to do that. And but I'm like, no, it's it. I can do this. I can. I'm trained. And why couldn't I do this? So I did it, and it was great. It was hard, but I did it. So I just it gave me the confidence to go. If I can do this, I can do anything. And talking about dispelling any imposter syndrome, I still think about them. Like I trained for a marathon by myself. I could do that on purpose, so like that hard thing to do it to myself, because I've done hard things before, but for other people and under different circumstances for other people that I didn't have control over. But like doing something for myself, to myself, that was a big deal for me.
Yep.
Take on the big goal because it's worth it. And if you don't like it, then you'll learn, you'll definitely learn something. And I think that's the important thing.
It is the most important thing for
Yeah.
sure, I think, too. You learn so much about yourself, and you can sit there, and if you're having a hard day at work or you have a meeting you're really nervous about, even translates to that. I've literally run a marathon.
Yeah.
Nothing
Or
is going to
even a 5K,
be
like
that hard.
yeah, I'm doing a 5K. If I didn't want to do it and I did it, I can do this. Let's just put my big girl panties
Yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you start to, I don't even know if it's like what the professional term is, but it's almost like accomplished stacking in your head. You're like, I've done this 5K, so I can do this 10K.
Yeah.
I've done a 10K, so I can train for a marathon.
Right.
Like you can just continue to grow. And as long as you continue doing it, the growth mindset will kick in.
Yeah.
And I guess like it's the full circle of the conversation because that's kind of how we started, but
Yeah.
it will kick in.
I definitely, if anybody has ever heard or struggled, I've never heard the word growth mindset. I highly recommend Mindset by Carol Dweck. And that, I wish I read that when I was 12, because it was like, it's just hard. Just learning is hard. And now that I have that, I'm writing a book now. I'm in a band. I've learned how to play bass guitar at age 47, and
Hell
now
yeah.
I'm finishing my book, which people have told me over and over again, you're a terrible writer, and I'm like, no, I think I'm pretty good. Just because like grammar, that was like they hung up on grammar. I'm like, there's editors for that. So
Yes.
I'm finishing a book. I'm like, that's like the kind of who cares, and I'm doing it, and I'll find my audience or whatever. So it's just been fun. It's just that completely turns over upside down your head for things that you thought you could do.
What is your
Like
book about?
growing up on a boat in California.
Not what I expected.
I know. I grew up on a boat in California.
Okay, that's really cool. Did you sail around too?
Not really. It was a power boat. My parents had jobs and stuff, so we went to different five different high schools and 4 different years. And that was the hard part. Yeah, it was interesting.
That's really rough on a kid.
Yeah. Great.
Grit, you're
Yeah.
right. And that's helped you in your life too.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. You're a business owner. You can run really far and you encourage other people to run really far. That takes a lot of grit.
Just drink the Kool-Aid, you'll be fine.
Drink the whole gallon of Gatorade. And then everything, pour it on your head. Everything will be fine. What about running? Keeps your fires burning.
Like it on a daily basis because I like to just check it off my list. Even like when I was like, if I've been depressed or just like been blue, I'm like, I ran today. That felt good. It's like checking off that felt got sweaty, and I feel better when I'm done running. And it's like one of those things I do every day because it doesn't sustain. I love music a lot. So I love listening to music while I'm running. And that really helps me stay connected to my heart. I know it sounds really dorky, but it makes everything in align, aligns myself really well. So I feel like I have purpose and I feel good. So that's the fire. But yeah, training for things, I usually do like a marathon a year. I'm not fast. I did these big races in the Azores over the last couple of years, which was really fun. And so that was, I had to go there to do that. So that was like, I had trained for that, but I'm not training for anything right now. That kind of feels good, really good too.
Yeah, just taking a
Just
break,
run.
having fun with running.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be nice. I found though about myself that if I don't have something to train for, I don't train as hard,
Yeah, but
which
that's also,
is,
that's fine. That's fine.
yeah. So I
There's
sign
nothing.
up for this shit and
Yeah.
then
Training
I
time
have to do it.
for, you know, up and down like a wave. You're at the ocean. You just ride it out. And yeah, it's there when you need it.
It's very true. It's there waiting for you always. The monster in the
Well,
closet.
I'm a monster.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people could relate that running is one of those things that so many people hated at first, and then you start to love it, but then sometimes you still hate it,
Yeah.
and
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
so weird.
Yeah.
Like any seriously hard activity is so weird in that way that you still do it, but you hate it.
Yeah, it's like I like getting out the door. That's my joke, is like getting out the front door is just like the hardest thing. And I'm like, I don't want to go running. And my husband's like, don't go running. I'm like, I've got to go running. You know? You know, like it's pouring outside. He's like, why? I'm like, because I have to do it. And it's part of my who I am now, like now. But yeah, I hate that I have to, but I love that I do.
Yeah. How many races have you been in?
I don't know. There's one over
Did
here.
you
Like,
lose count?
oh yeah. I saw that from Mandy, our friend, mutual friend Mandy, because she ran out for the Portland Marathon, and on Friday she goes, "Hey, you want to run this?" And on Sunday I ran it completely trained. Yeah, I don't know how many, a lot.
Mandy, that little badass, she never told me she ran a marathon.
I coached her, trainer. I trained her for the first marathon.
Oh
Yeah.
my
She stopped running after
God.
that,
So I was just gonna ask, will she kill me if I try to get her to run with me? That's not a
though.
thing.
You can try.
Oh
Yeah, she was my first client, and she like paid me. She like framed the dollar bill that she paid me with. Yeah, she's very wonderful.
that's so sweet. So you
Yeah.
guys met 18 years ago?
20 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I know it seems crazy, but we have, yeah. Like she was there when my son was born, and he's 17 now. And yeah, it's crazy.
That is so crazy. Life is wild, man.
And that's our scene.
Yeah, that is it. Oh gosh. But before we go, I was really curious about your thoughts on the difference between, for the listeners, if they want to say train for the 5K, they want to train for the half or the full marathon, what kind of different mindsets and training regimens, it can be abridged, would you recommend for them? Like, how different would it be if they wanted to go to just straight to the half marathon?
I would like to for people to do a 5K before doing a half
First.
marathon, just to it's just testing the waters and seeing what it feels like, because then it takes the pressure off doing the half. You know, the people put a lot of pressure on themselves, so just testing the waters, filling it out, trying it on, and then yeah, that, and then maybe a 10K. It's everybody's so different, so everybody that feels hard. Like over daunting for people to do a half marathon, just start slow and inch your way up, because really it's the training isn't that much different. You know, it's gonna sound really crazy because we have our Couch to 5K people, and the next step is a half marathon, and they're like, I could never do that. And I'm like, I've heard that so many times from people who are doing marathons now, and because the training is 4 or 5 days a week, and you're just increasing one day long. You have one long day, but everything else is pretty much the same. So
And if you can run a mile, you can run a marathon. I
yeah.
don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of it's mental. For that, those two, for half marathons, totally. But marathons, you got to have something wrong with you a little bit.
You really do. And I skipped marathons and went straight to ultras. And I'm like, that's a lot of things wrong with me.
But ultras are like there's dirt and stuff, and
And they
you
have better snacks. I swear they have a better budget or something.
yeah, that's great. Yeah, people bring their own stuff, and I think the crowd is nicer and sweeter than marathon. I think marathons are really intense, and I don't like them so much.
Yeah. I love the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's fun. It's super fun.
And that's one thing that I think is really important to keep on the horizon is the race itself, the organized event is the celebration and it's a lot of fun. And I think people should at least do that once.
And that's another good thing to tell people is if you are testing it out and curious and you want to do volunteer. There is so much need for volunteers right now, and they treat you really well. They give you like a free shirt and snacks, and you get to cheer for people that you don't know, which is like the funnest thing in the world. We have our half marathon our Saturday morning group. We stop and like for our turnaround, and we just cheer our heads off for like people running on the Burke Gilman. Are running on like the around Lake Union, and we call it the random run and cheer squad, and people are just like so happy.
You cheering for me?
They're like, "What are you doing?" But there's so many of us. They're like, "Okay."
Cool.
It's they're like just you get to do that for random people, and I think that just is so fun to do, and it's just good for the karma.
Yeah, I'm always so thankful for them because they're like refilling the drinks. They have sometimes all of the drinks already set out. It's like they have it all just to go.
So
You guys are the
tired, and you're
best.
just like, thank you so much.
Yeah. You guys are the absolute best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Highly recommend. Everybody go sign up for a race. Do
That's
the
not a go volunteer.
volunteer. Sign up for a volunteer race. That's right. Volunteer. Sign up for a race. Volunteer again. Maybe stagger it.
Yeah. And if you are injured, I always tell people to volunteer to stay your keep your head in the game because you feel very grateful for people when you're volunteering and vice versa.
Yeah, vice versa. I know you said that you are transitioning out of Running Evolution. Is it going to stay around?
Yes, we have. I'm not going to be the head coach anymore, but I love the community, and I'm still tapped into it. I still have our Saturday morning group, and we do a track workout on Wednesdays over by Green Lake. And we just have other coaches, and they're awesome. So we're starting our Couch to 5K class in April, and then we also have a DIY for people who are listening outside of Seattle, a DIY Couch to 5K, which includes a podcast about all the things we've talked about every week for 5 weeks, and it has a schedule so you can play along,
Oh.
which is really fun.
And while you're running, like a coach in your ear. Oh my God. I love that. Okay.
Well, I did it years and years ago, and then the pandemic happened and people couldn't run together. And so I turned this into this thing, and then I had people like all across the country, and we had Zoom meetings every week, and they listened to the podcast and they followed the schedule, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So that was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. It's called DIY.
Yeah, just did Couch to 5K DIY.
Okay. I love that. I'm gonna look that up immediately and I'll put all this in the show notes too. And I realized we didn't really fully get into your athletic background. Can you give
Oh,
us a
there's
little TLDR? There's none.
none.
Love it even more.
Yeah, I joined track because my boyfriend told me I was fat in high school, and
Shithead.
I know he was great. not. And I lasted like five, and then I was done, and I didn't exercise again until I was 26.
Our stories are very similar.
But that killed me. That stunned me. So that definitely held my. And my dad was a runner. My dad still is a runner, 80 years old. But my
Ooh.
dad ran every day. And so I had that as an example. My son is not a runner, but I'm thinking maybe when he gets older, maybe he'll try it
You've shown there's time. He has till 26.
Exactly.
And then maybe he's a lost cause. I wonder if it has something to do with our brains being like the frontal lobe fully developing after 25.
Yeah, who knows?
Because then you're like, oh, survival. My body needs to be healthier.
Yeah,
Maybe I should do something.
was fresh air, and I was stressed with my job, and it was just like I needed an outlet. And we have a whole family line of anxiety, so it's just I feel like the cool cucumber in my family because I do this.
Oh, love it. And you seem like a cool cucumber. Like it's done a lot of good for you. I love it. Beth, thank you for being here. Where can people find you? I'll list the Couch to 5K DIY and your website. Is there anything else that you want people to know?
Yeah, like all the classes are at runningevolution.com.
Okay.
And I am, if you like tacos and Taco Fridays, my Instagram is Running Evolve. And then we have a Facebook group as well. But the Instagram is a lot, there's a lot of tacos. I like tacos.
Tacos are the best thing ever. Though I will say that I disagree with your nachos sentiment.
Okay.
I love nachos so much.
I love nachos a lot too. They're both good. They're both equally good.
Thank you so much for being here, Beth. I'm really excited to know you now, and I'm going to come running with you, and Mandy's going to come too.
I think there's our Saturday morning group, and you can be like the little spry fast girl.
I'm not fast. There's no.
Better, even better.
No. But I'm happy to come with good vibes. That's
awesome.
What I do.
Awesome, yeah.
Awesome. It's my specialty.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing this because I think it's really important. So thanks for spreading out the love and having this podcast. So I really appreciate you inviting me. I really do.
Yeah, of course. I feel like more people need to believe that they can do hard things. That's exactly why I do this. And I know that you deeply feel that. Because you can. You need and you can do hard things.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening to the You're Not Qualified podcast, you capable babes. I'm very excited that you made it to the end of this episode. I would love to hear from you if you feel inspired by the stories that you hear on this podcast. If you feel inspired by this particular one, please drop me a line. I can be reached by email, ynqpod@gmail.com. I am most active on Instagram. The handle is @ynqpod. Please drop me a DM there. I love chatting with you all. Write a comment, anything you'd like. I just want to hear what you think. If you think that you'd be a great fit for this podcast and you want to come on and tell your story of how you overcame imposter syndrome, please get in touch. Or if you know of somebody that you think would also love to tell their story, get them in touch with me. Would love to hear from them. If you like what you hear, I love it when you subscribe. So please do so or follow me, depending on what platform you're listening on. And also leave a review. Spotify does this really fun thing now where you can actually leave a review after a prompt. It's a really exciting way to get engaged. I realized it not too long ago when scrolling through Spotify that they let you put prompts as the creator. And I would love to hear from you. So please just get in touch. Let's get involved. I am so excited that you are even listening, and I really, really, really hope that this inspires you to get out and do that damn thing. Go do everything that scares you. You are way more capable than you think you are. I promise you. Again, friends, thank you so much for listening. Go do that thing. I will see you very soon. Bye.